Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I'm passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we explore on this podcast. I share ideas and strategies and blueprints. I tell stories. I share some of those big epic fails that I've made along the way, because I know that in the end, teachers have a profound influence on helping students develop that creative voice. And we've been talking a lot on this podcast about this shift into virtual and hybrid learning. I want to tell you, in a few weeks, I will be coming out with a book that's all about this idea of empowering students in distance learning and in hybrid environments. I'm super excited about it. It's going to be highly visual, kind of like Empower and Vintage Innovation were. And I'm just really excited to share that with you. So I thought I would tell you about that ahead of time. And let's go ahead and dive right into today's topic. It's all about this idea of building relationships and getting to know our students in distance and hybrid environments. As an educator, you are a community builder. From day one, you're getting to know your students on a relational level. It's often in the little things, like sending an email the first day they miss a virtual class session. It's what happens when you are giving them opportunities to pursue their interests and chase their curiosity. And, you know, as the community builder, you are the one who's setting the tone for the class culture by facilitating the creation of classroom norms and procedures, and often you'll do that collectively with them. On a daily level, you set the tone with your approach to classroom management and the subtle things like the language you use and the tone of voice and the sense of humor that you bring to the community. You also help teams solve problems and resolve conflict during collaborative work. And you find creative ways to develop trust and create a sense of presence even when students are working remotely. Those are all a part of your job. And this last spring, as we shifted into the quarantine, teachers did an amazing job building community at the collective level and engaging relationally with students on the individual levels. It was really cool to watch this in action. I've seen so many examples of teachers making phone calls to families, having class video conference meeting just to do a pulse check on each child, and going out of their way to make sure kids know that there's an adult out there who cares. And I've seen this at the higher education level too. I've seen professors who have gone out of their way to make sure that students know that there's someone out there who cares. You know, sometimes professors get this unfair reputation for being just people who lecture the whole time and people who don't care and whatever. But the reality is, I'm seeing professors eagerly learning how to use video conferencing technology to make sure that their students are connecting with them. Professors all around me are making phone calls to students to see how they're doing mentally and emotionally. They're checking in with them before the start of the school year. They're sending out surveys, all kinds of things like that. Certain professors are connecting with local agencies for students who have experienced trauma. It's a bold reminder that in higher education, professors might be experts in a specific domain or field, but they're also deeply dedicated to their classroom community. Now, this sudden shift toward pandemic pedagogy has been a reminder that teaching is inherently relational and that educators at every level care deeply about those that they serve. But this year feels different. In the spring, many teachers had already built classroom communities face-to-face. But what does this mean when we build community and get to know our students when they're not physically there? How do we build a classroom community in a hybrid and virtual environment? In the next few weeks, I'm going to be exploring this topic of how we build community in online and hybrid learning spaces. I'll also get into a couple different models for hybrid learning. I've had a lot of people ask me about it, so I can't wait to do that. But today I just want to talk about this idea of five different ways that you can get to know your students in distance and hybrid environments. So when I taught middle school, I used to begin the first week with a history of me project. I wanted my students to feel known, and it seemed like a personal narrative was a really good idea. But after the second year of teaching, it might have been the third, I began to realize that my lesson wasn't trauma sensitive. See, not every student feels safe sharing their story. Starting with a personal biography can create situations where students are reliving trauma or experiencing PTSD. In addition, some students are facing and processing shame connected to their past. While vulnerability is important, it can take months to unpack these things, and really, they have to develop trust in a community. Furthermore, some students don't feel safe sharing aspects of their identity. And this is especially true for members of the LGBT plus community. However, as teachers, we can get to know our students in a different way. We can make them feel known and respected in a way that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to relive their trauma. The first week can be an opportunity to honor their agency as learners. So where do we start? Well, one idea is to focus on geeky interests. Everyone has geeky interests, and sharing these nerdy things that we just love and are passionate about, it allows us to share something personal without centering it on one's identity. You can also honor student agency by empowering them to own the creative process. Here, you affirm their creative voice from day one. Similarly, when they own the inquiry process, you're affirming their natural curiosity. So I want to get into the five different activities. Here we go. Number one, a survey. There are many different options for student surveys. You might do an interest inventory where they rate their interest in certain topics that you're going to cover in class. They might share their ideas of topics they like or novels they read, TV shows. You get the idea. Music that they listen to, video games they play. You might ask students about their communication preferences. How often do they want you to email them and do a check-in? Do they prefer videos or text-based instructions? In some cases, you might want to ask questions about their workspace or technology setup, and that can help you figure out if they need additional resources. Now, while the survey is a one-on-one way of communicating with them, you can create spaces where students share some of these same interests with their peers. For example, I love to do this. I love to ask students to tell me their songs. And so what I do is I give them a prompt that says, you know, what are your songs? And then they have to list number one, name the song that represents your anthem. Number two, name the song that makes you feel nostalgic. And number three, name the song that people would be surprised to know that you listen to. Now, I could turn this into a game where they have to guess, you know, what the surprising song is, or guess what songs, you know, belong to who. And that's one way of doing it, but that's actually not what I do. At that point, we discuss the songs, we geek out on them for a little bit, and then I put together a Spotify playlist with all of the different music. And honestly, it's been a fun way to get, new ideas of songs I've never checked out. You know, it's kind of fun to associate music with certain students. Number two is a show and tell. Now, I've mentioned this concept before, but I have a prompt that I use. It says, choose one item that represents a healthy way that you're dealing with social isolation. It could be a hobby, a mindset, or a creative endeavor, and explain why you chose that item. I then ask students to go find that item. They give about they get about 90 seconds. I might go a full 2 minutes if I want to, but for the most part, they get about 90 seconds. When that's done, I call on each student using a randomizer, and I ask students to explain their object. This is a really fun thing. What it does is it allows them to share their nerdy interests, but then, they don't have to share too much about themselves. They have a lot of control over what they're sharing. It's really cool. If students are super nervous about sharing and they're not sure that they want to do it, one of the alternatives is that they can create the video on their own, and they could post it to something like Flipgrid. A third idea is a hands-on maker project. So this is something like I have a writing prompt that you can check out that's an invent a sport challenge where they have to design a sport that can be played in a pedagogy. But there's actually another version, which is a scavenger hunt. Here they have 3 minutes to find something flat, something round, and something sticky. Those three items are what they work with, and then afterwards they brainstorm all the uses that they can think of for those items. And then from there, they have to actually design a children's toy or a children's game with those three items. I will sometimes let them choose one other item from their house, a free choice item that they have that they can add to it. Then they film a video showing how the game is played, and they post that to the class LMS or to something like Flipgrid. So to me, it's a really fun way to get them making and creating and finding items. And again, it honors their creativity. The fourth idea is the Geek Out blog. With the Geek Out blog, students pursue their geeky interests. It's kind of a genius hour idea. And here's how it works. They begin with what you really care about. What is something you're passionate about? What is something you know inside and out? What is something you believe in? What is something that you find fun and enjoyable? And from there, whatever they geek out on, they then begin to do research. They engage in inquiry, they find facts, and they begin to create blog posts. And we start out with things like listicles, 7 reasons why, 7 ways to, 7 things to know about, 7 best, 7 worst, a lot of sevens in the beginning. But then it gets into, you know, they might do a Q&A blog post, they might do an instructional blog post showing people how something works. You know, it's really up to them, and there's a lot of leeway in terms of how it's done. And these Geek Out blogs can be just one of those simple ways to say, whatever you're into, please share it with us. We want to know. And it's cool to watch how they'll share something about fashion or skateboarding or video games or whatever they're into. And it's neat to watch students just kind of come alive as they talk about those things that they love. The final one is oriented around student curiosity, and it is a curiosity cast. This is a full inquiry-based unit or lesson. It usually takes a couple of class periods in person. Online, it would be up to you in terms of how you structure it. Basically, they choose a topic. They come up with a question, they engage in research, and then in the end, they create a podcast that goes with it. If you look at the blog post that corresponds to this podcast, you'll see there's a couple outlines and some directions that you can use as you set this up. So there's a few different ways to, you know, to organize it. The bottom line is that these are just a few ideas. There are so many different options that allow students to chase their curiosity and pursue their creativity. In the process, we can honor their agency as students and begin to build a classroom community that is empowered and excited about learning. It's true that physical distance is hard. I don't want to pretend that it's not. And there's no magical formula to do it right. But there are certain things that we can do from day one to get them excited about their learning, to honor their agency. And in the process, these become ways that we can get to know them as learners. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? That would mean the world to me. I would love that. So again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.